Good morning and welcome to this, another edition of Mornings for the Master, heard right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea. I'm your host each Thursday here on Mornings for the Master, and I hope you tune in each weekday to hear Mornings for the Master. You have a different host and a different course of study. And at this time in our Thursday program, we have been studying the book of Lamentations. Today we're going to be in chapter 4, which is also the fourth of the six poems of Lamentations. Now, if you missed our previous programs on this book, you can go back to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website, and there you can pick up the previous programs and here and all of the other programs that are heard here on TGRN. And so, as we continue our study today, let's get right into Lamentations chapter 4. Let's go to our text. How the gold has become dim. How changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. Even the jackals present their breast to nurse their young. But the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. Her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger, for these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundations. The kings of the earth and all inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem. Because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priest, who shed in her midst the blood of the just, they wandered blind in the streets. They have defiled themselves with blood, so that no one would touch their garments. They cried out to them, "Go away, unclean. Go away, go away. Do not touch us," when they fled and wandered. Those among the nations said, "They shall no longer dwell here." The face of the Lord scattered them. He no longer regards them. The people do not respect the priest, nor show favor to the elders. Still our eyes failed us, watching vainly for our help. In our watching we watched for a nation that could not save us. They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was caught in their pits, of whom we said, "Under his shadow we shall live among the nations." Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, you who dwell in the land of Uz. The cup shall also pass over to you, and you shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no longer send you into captivity. He will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover your sins. If you believed the message of hope and assurance found within chapter 3, the third poem of the Lamentations, it might lead to a happy ending, but you will be brought back to painful reality here in chapter 4, this fourth poem. Lamentations is not a book of sunbeams from heaven, the beauty of the rainbow and the joy that surrounds me. This is real pain. And a description of how real pain and grief invades the life of the believer in the Lord. Chapter 4, this fourth poem, will have nothing to do with the ideal that things are all better now, for they are not. Though the author, Jeremiah's hope, is in the Lord, the anguish and despair that he feels has not subsided. We are also looking at another aspect of the destruction in this poetry. Chapter 1, the first poem, spent most of its time describing the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. Chapter 2, the second poem, mainly describe the destruction of the temple. And chapter 3, the third poem, was a description of the personal pain of the prophet. This fourth poem describes the devastation of the inhabitants of the city. And so, as we now want to look closer here at this fourth chapter, this fourth poem, we're going to begin by seeing God's wrath being poured out. How the gold has become dim. how changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. Even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young. But the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment, with no hand to help her. Her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. For these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundations. The description of the destruction of God's people is almost too much to bear to read. Can you possibly imagine looking at this devastation as the prophet Jeremiah did? How the gold has become dim, how changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. While verse 1 sounds like he is talking about the gold on the buildings, verse 2 reveals, though, that he is talking about the look of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. How the gold has become dim, how changed the fine gold. The stones of the sanctuary are scattered at the head of every street. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. These are the precious sons of Zion that verse 2 speaks of. But now they have been regarded as earthen pots. The whole population has been discarded as broken pottery by the potter. Verse 3 describes the abandonment that has occurred, like ostriches that abandon their eggs. Even the jackals present their breasts to nurse their young. But the daughter of my people is cruel, like ostriches in the wilderness. The infants and children are starving and thirsting in the streets, according to verse 4. The tongue of the infant clings to the roof of its mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, but no one breaks it for them. According to verse 5, the rich are now perishing in the streets. Those who ate delicacies are desolate in the streets. Those who were brought up in scarlet embrace ash heaps. Their punishment is greater than Sodom, because for Jerusalem there are so many left in the streets to suffer in the streets till they die. Notice verse 6 and verse 9. The punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment with no hand to help her. You see, the punishment of Sodom was sudden. Death came quickly to those. But it's a slow death here. Verse 9, those slain by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. For these pine away, stricken for lack of the fruits of the field. Verses 7 and 8 point out to us that their bodies are blackened and their skin has shriveled to their bones. Her Nazarites were brighter than snow and whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies, like sapphire in their appearance. Now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. In verse 10, we find that compassionate women are now eating their own children because the situation is so awful. The hands of the compassionate women have cooked their own children. They became food for them in the destruction of the daughter of my people. And so we find in verse 11 that the Lord has pulled out his full wrath against his people. The Lord has fulfilled his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured its foundations. Now, as we move forward, we see Jeremiah reflecting on his and the people's pain. Let's pick up in verse 12. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy could enter the gates of Jerusalem because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priest, who shed in her midst the blood of the just. They wandered blind in the streets. They have defiled themselves with blood, so that no one would touch their garments. They cried out to them, "Go away, unclean! Go away! Go away!" Do not touch us. When they fled and wandered, those among the nations said, They shall no longer dwell here. The face of the Lord scattered them. He no longer regards them. The people do not respect the priest, nor show favor to the elders. Still our eyes failed us, watching vainly for our help. In our watching we watched for a nation that could not save us. They tracked our steps so that we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near. Our days were over, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than the eagles of the heavens. They pursued us on the mountains and lay in wait for us in the wilderness. The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was caught in their pits, of whom we said, Under his shadow we shall live among the nations. Verse 13 is the central moment of this lamentation. Because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priest, who shed in her midst the blood of the just. Notice that the author is reflecting on the reason why all this has happened to them. Jeremiah says, This was for the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priest. The reason for this disaster is because of the sins of the people. There's now a moment for Jeremiah to explain the problem and express it in a way that he can give it in his prayer to God. Jeremiah has the ability at this point to look at his own circumstances and learn from them. Pain, grief, and suffering affords the opportunity to look at your own life situations and see what can be learned from them. Perhaps one of the biggest mistakes we can make is to go through pain and suffering and not look for what we can learn about God and our relationship to Him. This is why James begins his letter the way that he does. Notice James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. To count trials as joy means that there must be time for reflection. I have to consider the joy from my experiences. Reflection on what has happened and how trials allowed by God can have their full effect in our lives so as to produce steadfastness and maturity. We accept what has happened to us and consider what we can learn from it for our spiritual transformation and growth. This is what Jeremiah does in verse 13. He looks and considers that the disaster that has fallen upon them is the wrath of God that is due to them because of their sins. In fact, he identifies one particular sin that was supremely damaging and caused their downfall. Listen to the words of verse 13 once again. Because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priest, who shed in her midst the blood of the just. The supreme problem was the sins of the priest and the prophets, who shed the blood of the righteous. Those same individuals who were charged with being the teachers of the Lord and the proclaimers of God's very own words were indeed the worst of the offenders. Instead of proclaiming and teaching the ways of the Lord, they were soft-peddling a message that the people wanted to hear instead. They were desiring someone to speak to them smooth things, as Isaiah would term it. But notice some things here in, from Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 8. Then I saw that for all the causes for which backsliding Israel had committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a certificate of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but went and played the harlot also. Chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. I will go to the great men and speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Chapter 6, verse 13. Because from the least of them even to the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even to the priest, every one deals falsely. Are you beginning to get the picture of how these folks were? Chapter 8, beginning in verse 8. How can you say we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others, and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Chapter 23, beginning in verse 11. Again, quite a bit of reading here, but we need to really understand the depth of sin. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Therefore their ways shall be to them like slippery ways. In the darkness they shall be driven on and fall in them. For I will bring disaster on them the year of their punishment, says the Lord. And I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people Israel to err. Also I have seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of the evildoers, so that no one turns back from his wickedness. All of them are like Sodom to me, and their inhabitants like Gomorrah. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. From the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? And who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor, as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream, and he has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. So when these people or the prophet or the priest ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people who say, the oracle of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. Thus every one of you shall say to his neighbor, and every one to his brother, what has the Lord answered? and what has the Lord spoken? And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more, for every man's word will be his oracles. For you have perverted the word of the Lord, living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Chapter 26. Again, the very ones who should be the leaders, the ones entrusted with the word. Oh, the depth of sin. Chapter 26, beginning in verse 7. So the priest and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it happened, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priest and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, "You will surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant'?" And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priest and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, "This man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city as you have heard with your ears." Then Jeremiah spoke to all the princes and all the people, saying, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now therefore, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you. As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper for to you. But know for certain that if you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing." So the princes and all the people said to the priest and the prophets, "This man does not deserve to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God." Then certain of the elders of the land rose up and spoke to all the assembly of the people, saying, "Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spoke to all the people of Judah, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, Jerusalem shall become heaps of ruins, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the forest.' Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. But we are doing great evil against ourselves. Now there was also a man who prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shemaiah of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land, according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes, heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. Then Jehoiakim the king sent men to Egypt, Elnathan the son of Achbor, and other men who went up with him to Egypt. And they brought Urijah from Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim the king, who killed him with the sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Achim the son of Shaphan was with Jeremiah, so that they should not give him into the hand of the people to put him to death. And then one more, chapter 28, beginning in verse 1. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur the prophet, who was from Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priest and of all the people, saying, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priest and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied, to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, Even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from his neck, from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, You have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. I have also given him the beast of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust in a lie. Therefore, says the Lord, Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year, in the 7th month. Inadequate spiritual leadership led to their doom. And they had certainly not learned this lesson by the time of Jesus, because listen to what Jesus said about the leaders in his day. Matthew chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. Then his disciples came and said to him, Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. The context of those scriptures is that Jesus is being criticized by the Pharisees and scribes because his disciples did not wash their hands according to the tradition of the elders. Jesus called them hypocrites, whose hearts were far from God. Then he declared that they were blind guides causing the spiritual ruin of others. Spiritual leaders are charged with the important task of proclaiming the pure, clear word of the Lord, not what people want to hear. God's word is often not what we want to hear, but it is what we need to hear to get us back to walking in the light of the Lord again. And notice that Jeremiah uses this very same imagery in verse 14. They wandered blind in the streets. They have defiled themselves with blood, so that no one would touch their garments. The priest had and the prophets had so corrupted themselves they were blind and unclean. They were supposed to be examples of purity. The disaster is placed on their heads for leading the people away by not proclaiming the full and complete message of God. We must trust in God's word and nothing else. Let's bring this back full circle to the reflection that the author has. He recognizes the wrath of God has been vented against God's people because of their sins. And the catalyst of this being that the priests and the prophets no longer proclaim the word of the Lord to the people. Inadequate spiritual leadership had brought about their demise. Therefore, their sins had made them worthless before God, like broken pots cast aside, as we read in verse 2. The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. Their value to God is tarnished, and judgment has come. And so, now we see that sins will be punished. We pick up in verse 21. Rejoice and be glad, O daughter of Edom, you who dwell in the land of Uz. The cup also shall pass over to you, and you shall become drunk and make yourself naked. The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no longer send you into captivity. He will punish your iniquity, O daughter of Edom. He will uncover your sins. We must never think that God's wrath will not come because of our sins. We must never think that God will not start his judgment with us. We are not getting away with our sins. No one is getting away with sin, and that is the message of verses 21 and 22. Edom is sitting on the sidelines, rejoicing over the fall of Jerusalem. But listen to Jeremiah in verses 21 and 22. In verse 21, he says that this cup of wrath will come to them also. And in verse 22, he says, God will uncover their sins and punish them. For anyone to think that God will not judge a person because of his sins has simply not read and studied the scriptures. God is just, and he will judge for sins. It is vitally important that we reflect on this truth. This is not just an Old Testament truth, but it is declared again under Christ's covenant. Here are the words of Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Notice, the wrath of God has been revealed against all ungodliness. But also notice what our temptation is, that we will just try to suppress this truth in our own unrighteousness. We don't want to reflect on the wrath of God for our sins, so we will ignore and suppress the truth. We want to hear how to be happy in life and to be told that we do not have to change our lives. This is suppressing the truth. We are doomed because of our sins. Jeremiah realized this also. Notice verse 17. Still our eyes failed us, watching vainly for our help. In our watching we watched for a nation that could not save us. No one can help and no one can save. Only God can save us. We cannot save ourselves. Other people cannot save. Nothing we can do can save us. God must deliver us from the wrath we deserve because of our sinful ways. Looking to others for help is an exercise in vanity. Our sins are uncovered and revealed before the Lord. Nothing is hidden from His sight. There is nothing that we are getting away with. Therefore, all that we are left to do is to cry out to the Lord and reflect upon our sinfulness. We are to learn from our sins and turn our hearts to God, crying out for mercy. This is what makes the beauty of the gospel. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." It is in our helpless state that Christ comes and dies for us, that we do not have to receive the wrath of God that is rightly appointed to us because of our sins. Jesus becomes our hope. In the days of Jeremiah, we see their human kings failing in righteousness and destroying their hope in of God, blessing the world through them because of their sin. This loss of hope in their king is expressed in verse 20. "The breath of our nostrils, the anointed of the Lord, was caught in their pits." As Christians, we long for the perfect King of righteousness, who will restore our hope and make us a blessing among the nations. We need someone to comfort and restore us to God. So while we were helpless in our sins, at the perfect time appointed by God, the Father sent Jesus to die for us. Through Jesus, the atonement is made for our sins. Notice that verse 22 is the fear for all the people. "The punishment of your iniquity is accomplished, O daughter of Zion. He will no longer send you into captivity. He will punish your iniquity. O daughter of Edom, he will uncover your sins." Our sins are uncovered before God. But in Jesus Christ we have atonement, which is the picture of our sins being covered. We close with Romans chapter 4, verse 7. "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered." Let our times of grief and pain cause us to reflect. To reflect on what we can learn through our difficulties so that we can count our pain and trial as a joy. Reflect on what God has done to carry you through, knowing that your sins are covered in Christ and they will carry you through the times of difficulty. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I hope that if the Lord wills, we'll be together again next week at this same time as we consider chapter 5 in the 5th poem of the Lamentations. So until then, this is Chris saying so long. Have a great day, and be sure to tune in tomorrow and join Brother Chip Horton for another edition of Mornings for the Master. This program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and in a day or so posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website. So long, and have a great day.